I went to live with a relative in Amfo who kept a pig, but I didn't like it there. I missed my brothers and sisters who wanted to go, and it was only in Amfo, which is not very far. And then I came home, and eventually, I was allowed to do war work.
And was that in the local factory?
No, we had to travel to Bridgend, with the bus and the train, and hundreds used to go there. The Royal Ordnance Factory, then, making different things. But eventually I became a fitter. During the war, I went to a training centre in Newport and came back, and I was allowed to join the union, engineering union, which was unheard of, really, innit? No women in the engineer. But that's another thing.
Yes, you said you were from a very large family.
Yeah.
Can you tell me again how many there was?
Well, the eldest sister died, and I had three other sisters and two brothers.
And you said your uncle and aunties had quite a few children as well.
Yeah. There were big families around us all in the street, the Morganses and the Jameses. We were the biggest family, I think, in that street there. But there we are. We all worked in and did things. And I remember my sister getting married on a Boxing Day. And my father and mother were glad that she was getting married, because she was working in Cardiff. And Cardiff was being bombed, and there we are. The only time that, Astrid, was some plane dropped some bombs on the Drim Mountain then, But between this village and the next village, there was an army post. And before you crossed over the bridge, you had to be, if you were walking, then, buses were going. But I used to go to Brecon, because it felt safer somehow up that way. My husband and I, then now a boyfriend, he was then, used to catch the bus, and I think I spent a lot of time looking around the cathedral and did things, because My mother then didn't like me going to Swansea at all, in case of the bombing. But that's it,
Can you describe your street and the river behind your house?
The canal.
The canal.
Yes, well, that canal had been there for years. It's no longer there. And they did the bypass on it eventually. But, the canal was a way of life there, The kids used to play there. And then behind that, there was another little stream. And that was more or less coming from the mountain, which was cleaner than the canal. But people used to do a lot of things in the canal. They used to throw their water, and a lot of things. And they used to say that you weren't a member of the street till you had fallen into the canal. You were christened in the canal, sort of thing, And then the canal bank, where a lot of people used to walk on a Sunday evening after chapel. It was a venue, saw these couples and families and things, and then the house coming down the steps and into the house, and then the street, and across the street the garden, and everybody in the street did their gardens, just to grow things. And an uncle of mine had built big greenhouses and used to grow tomatoes and things like that, because nothing to hurt. You know, they say chicken is very popular now. Well, chicken was popular in our house then because that was a way of eking out the rations and things. And during the war, anyway. And I've even ate goat's meat. Because when the goats used to have kids, then, you know, I remember giving it to my husband once. He didn't know what meat it was. And he heard that it was goat meat, he was mortified. But rabbits we used to, you know, have. Because the men used to go shooting and trapping, I think. But every Christmas it was a goose, of course. And no turkeys then. And as I say, my father used to grow onions, oh gosh. And there was local shows, you know. There's photographs here somewhere of my uncle and with these big, huge onions. And Sennybridge Show was a big venue then. And that's how we lived by it. Then when I started work in the RAF factory in Bridgend, I hated going out in the morning in the dark. My brother was younger, used to get up and take me to the bus sometimes, because I hated the dark. And then my other brother used to come and meet me sometimes. But, you know, we survived.
You tell me the story earlier on of your family keeping animals.
Yes.
Around the house. Can you tell me again about that?
About keeping?
Your family kept animals.
Oh, yes. Well, it was, we kept animals. We kept them. You had to, it was a little, it was like a plank, you know, a big long thing to cross. And you were on the other side of the canal, there was all sheds then, and that's where they kept the chickens, the geese were there. My aunt even had a donkey, you know, and he was to be dressed up for the carnival, you know, and an old man, another gentleman living the other side of the canal, used to dress a cart up and he'd go to the carnival with the donkey, you know. But that all finished with the war, you see. And after that, it was never the same, was it, you know. But, when I was courting with my husband and he was in the mines, and, but he also had to do fire watching and things, you know. And when I used to work shift work, perhaps he was, the only time we used to meet, he'd come down by the last bus when I was afternoons, and he'd come home about 11 or 12, he'd meet me and walk up and go to the house, and we'd have his lowers there, and then he'd walk up the canal bank then all the way back to Abercrane, because, you know, as I say, it was the miners were working 6 days a week then, and I was working 7 days a week sometimes. Different shifts and things. But I remember my youngest, my brother then, he was only 14, and he wanted to join up, I think, or 15, something like that. When I got home one afternoon, Tom was in the house, and my mother said, he's gone, he wanted to join up. And if he was aid related with Didi, he went down to try and join a ship in the Swansea docks. And they were bombed, of course. They were bombing, and he was under this table in this seaman's place somewhere. Well, that's all he remembers, is having a big mug of tea under the table of this place. And you could hardly lift the mug, you said it was so heavy. But he came home anyway, and he never joined up.
The experience put him off.
No, I don't think so. It was my mother. It was, didn't want him to go anyway. My mother had died, and I remember him then. He wanted to join the Palestinian police that time. And he sent away. My mother knew the envelope. She used to burn it before he'd seen it. He just didn't want him to go.
If we go back to Joseph Herman, can you describe to me how you first met him?
It was in this Pennebont Inn, and I had been asked to go and help out with Ben and Katie that kept it. They were running the pub, and Katie had broken her ankle, I think it was, and they were looking. So I went to help, and that's how I knew of him there before, because as I say, my cousin was doing their washing and things, and my mother and my cousin were very, very friendly, and she used to help out with them. And that's how I got really knowing there, was in the Pennebont. And I had seen her, but I had never spoken. I became more used to her when she moved from the Pennebont Inn to the street where I lived, and then they had done the studio. But with him, I knew him. He used to come and stand outside the bar, you know, where in Pennebont, and he was funny, you know, and saying different things, and that's the time. After a while he asked, could you paint my portrait? And I, very impressed, you know, and when I went over, told my mother said, yes, you know. Then of course, when we went to, he said, you know, how old I was, and was I a virgin? And when I went over, told my mother said, no way, leave it there, you know. And I think he was, his way of asking, you know, what I was and who I was then, you know. But, I didn't find him, as I say, he was a bit flamboyant, you know, and walking about in his cape, and you'd see him coming in the distance, you know, and then you'd see him, and he used to like crossing the canal, you know, and going up. But more than him, he used to go towards where the mines were, that way then. I've seen him sat on the bridge in, where the bridge is in Estraganlais now, and sat there waiting for the miners to come home, like, you know, and picture him, that way. But I think she would like to go up to what we call the patches, you know, and to do a little bit of sketching that way. I did see one or two things that she had done, you know, but different to him in all respects, you know. But, and she had a cape and tam o' shanter and things, and different to the people of the village. And, she'd talk to anyone, and children especially. Then. So,
she had a good rapport with your son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And she used to, I think it was the festival of Britain. I'm not sure which one. There was like a festival with us, and like a carnival type thing, and people are dressing up, and she dressed my son. She had this wee scoot from somewhere and a fez on his head, and coloured him a bit with something, and striped pyjama bottoms, and I think she put a few beads on his slippers or something like that, and he went under all the carpet under his arm. There is a photo in the attic somewhere of it. He wasn't very old, you know, but there is a photo of him by the wall by where we lived then. She was more inclined to, I think, get involved with the, than he was. But he talked to anybody or anything, you know. A lot of the miners thought a lot of him, you know, because he was so ordinary, like, with them. And then a lot of the elders used to think that because he built that, they had that big wall built around the studios, they called it, what's going to go on there, you know. And then, oh, is he a communist, you know, and things like that. In a way, it was sad when they went, you know, because the studio was empty then for a while, you know, until Peggy and Di came. Now, they were big friends of his, and through that, Betty Ray got involved with them and things. And Dinah and Thomas John and a lot of others. And, oh, they had a big circle of friends in the village, I think. As I say, I knew the lady, Mrs. Galley, and I was told that there was a portrait of her in the nude, you know, partly in the nude, and that there was talk that she was pregnant at the time, like, you know. I never saw the portrait, but there was, I remember this woman living in the street, and she had a new baby, and I have seen that photo.
Sorry, if I just... right, just to recap.
Yeah. I thought they, you know, quite ordinary people. Mm. And I knew, and we had heard rumours that she was a wealthy woman. Mm. And but she never gave us that impression at all, you know. That they, my brother used to say, you know, and my cousin with them, what they, once they moved to the studio, I don't think my cousin, somebody else then went and as a maid with them. I remember who she was. And my mother used to say, you know, they can't have got much money. Look, you know, because of the bedding and things like that. But that's the way they lived, isn't it? You know, like a bohemian lifestyle then, you know.
Can you describe the bedding?
Well, it was red, just ordinary, but it was red, and a red tablecloth, and, you know, I don't think I saw, but I remember the bedding more than anything. And as I say, it was wartime, and everything was wiped with everybody else then, you know. And but this was red pillowcases. That's what I remember mainly. Then, you know, my mother saying, oh, God, we want red pillowcases. But that's their way, I suppose. And she did have a pet hen in this place in Penabont. And my cousin Mrs. Husband. The hen wasn't well, you know, and was bad, and he had to go away with the damn little cage that they had. And I remember him saying, but if she had fed it up a bit, then she would have had a nice meal out of it. But I don't think they would have wanted to eat this hen, because it was more of a like a pet with them. And, whether it was a special breed or what, I don't know. But I remember my cousin's husband saying about the hen that he was called because the hen. And I thought that was really funny that somebody had a pet hen, because we had plenty of hens where we lived and nobody would have time to, because it was a chore to feed them and clean the sheds out and things.
We talk about the red sheets. What were people's first reactions to it?
Well, as I say, my mother was, and my cousin just took it in a stride, I think, and then my mother told me, and I went to see, you know, these red pillowcases and things. They think it odd that I had never seen red sheets before, or red pillowcases. But whether she had dyed them, she had had them dyed, I don't know, but they were red, bright red. But as I say, she dressed differently to anybody else in the village. She had beautiful boots, you know, and things. And his cape and tam o' shanter, and him in his cape and his little poke pie hat and things, you know. He was quite dapper.
You said that your mum thought the red sheets may symbolise something.
Yeah. Well, as I say, my mother thought he was a communist, you know. Ooh. And then when they built the big walls around it, you know, a lot of the elderly people in the street were saying, what do you want that big wall for? And, you know, what they wanted, what they got to hide and things like that. But they accepted it in the end, you know, and my mother was always, you know, she'd pass and she'd say good morning, or he'd say, you know, or raise his hand, and, you know, away he went with his easel under his arm and things. They tried to fit in then, you know. In the end, people never used to think, you know, but he was a bit of a mystery when he came first. And how he came, I think it was to do with Peggy and Di. They have friends in London, see, and they were local, and they must have brought them down this way. I never had the proper story with Peggy, they became, in the end, of course, Peggy lived in the studio for years after that. That's how Betty has got it now, because they were related. If Peggy was alive, she could tell you more, much more, I expect. But, now Dinah, she would know more, because they were so friendly. And I can't say I was ever that friendly with him, but I remember him well. And I remember the time in Penbont. Once they went to the studio, and you know, eventually I got married, and then I came back to the street to live. And then she, now this Mrs. Galley, she fought after the war to have a children's clinic, and they got, and I think, well, she did more than he did, got involved that way with the locality. I remember, Galley, and I remember going with a poster on the pram, like, you know, and to try and get the first baby clinic in Estragon after the war. But they were very friendly. The house round the corner there. there again, Mrs. Galley and her husband, they talked. Well, Mrs. Galley was more or less local, but he was. Scottish, Mr. Galley was, so maybe they got friendly that way, you see, because she was Scottish. I have, you know, Dinah has told us one or two things when we're in company, how they met and how they, you know, and his life, and no doubt she helped him because she had money and you know, he had nothing, and that started him off, right, more or less. I should think so, anyway. Because until he became more well-known then, you know. Then they upped and went back to London. We used to hear certain things about them, you know. Found out that they had parted, you know, and divorced and things. I think she still carried a torch for him, you know, from what I can gather. But I have seen his wife then, you know, and but I've never spoken of it.
Do you think that Joseph captured the essence of Vistagen life, the people and the industry at the area?
Well, I think he concentrated more on the mining aspect of Vistagen life. As I say, I remember him taking a picture, and I seen that. She's nursing a child Welsh fashion, like, you know, on the doorstep and things. But he was very interested in ground, and you know, back to the an escaping colony, watched them coming. As I say, my brother was, you know, and he was coming home from night shift. You'd see him going, and he had been up early watching the men going to work and watching them coming back, because I think he was more fascinated with the mining of the area and the miners themselves. Used to go into the pub and have a chat with them and capture them, you know, smoking and things like that, you know. But as I say, at first, I didn't like the way he was portraying the miners, because they didn't resemble the miners to me as I knew them, you know. But then that's the way he saw them, isn't it? See there. Sometimes I used to think, oh God, he does look bad, and does look ill in that one, you know, because they were suffering, some of them then, with the chest problems and things.
Can you describe what, if you started from one end of Vistagen life and walked through the town to the other side, can you describe what you would see in the people you would meet?
Oh, they're very friendly at that time, you know. Well, you know, everybody knew everybody else. And welfare hall, they had dances, and dramas and operas. The big male voice choir was a huge success. Band, silver band, that was. And very often when the male voice had a concert, you had to book weeks ahead to have a ticket and things. And then the Astoria cinema, it was a wonderful cinema, beautiful films and things like that. But I'm afraid it's vastly different now. There wasn't so many houses, you know. And, but then after the war they built the local factory. TikTok, as they called it, well, that became a way of life for them. Yeah, there were so many people working there, and it was something new. to the village because young men didn't have to go to the mines. They could have an apprenticeship in the local factories and things. There was one, and then there was Perry Chain, as they called it, in Calan, in Havant, just up the road. And that brought prosperity that way to the... But I would say that all villages, they say, you know, has gone... There's a lot of people come in to live to the this area. Whereas before, as I say, you knew everybody. I could walk into any house in the street, you know, and you knew you'd be, you know, nobody would ask you what you want or anything like that. And where I lived in the street, there was a lot of relatives, and aunts and uncles and cousins and things living all along the street. And if anybody was bad, well, you know, you knew you'd have support and sympathy. It's not like that now. It was like that when Joseph came at first, because, as I say, everybody knew everybody in the street and the surrounding. Because it's odd where we lived, there was two public houses in the street, the Miners and the Star, and then down the bottom of the street there was the Enniskillen Arms, which is still around. And then around the corner where they made their first home, the Penabon. Well, there was three chapels around us at the time, the Tabernacle, Sardis and Aina, a Baptist, Methodist and an Independent chapel. And that was the way of life then. The river. Kids used to swim and play in the river. Because no swimming pools or anything then. And it was a treat to go to the beach in Swansea or Porthcawl or somewhere, you know. But, I remember one time, I don't know whether it was some relative of Joseph's wife then, and this big car came into the village, and they were saying that somebody, a relative of hers or something, it was, you know, and that caused a stir. And a lot of people were saying, you know, why didn't he, when it, after the war and things, you know, more cars were on the road. Funny that old Joseph hasn't got a car, they used to say, you know. But he didn't think of it that way, you know. As I say, there were plenty of buses. Buses, well, the road is closed now, around the Enniskillen Arms that way. There was an open road all the way down to the Gurness, and they closed the canal then and did a bypass there behind where I lived in the street there. So he must have seen a lot of changes while he was here, because he was here during the war then.
And you said the bus used to go through your streets.
Pen?
You said the bus used to go through your streets?
No, not at the bottom of the street.
Bottom.
The bottom of the street. But it used to go up around the corner and up to Cungiad, you know, every hour practically. But no buses go in now. Yes. Jump on the bus and go anywhere. I never used to go to Swansea during the war much, only to Brecon, as I say. But we considered it safer to go up that way than down to Swansea. My husband and I used to like, well, we went married then, to go to the Empire in Swansea, where they had live shows. Remember seeing Vera Lynn. Then we used to catch the train in St. Thomas and come back up to Slovera and walk then, you know, perhaps if there was no bus or something. This night, I forget, well, we had been to see And when we got into the train, the air raid, the warning went, well, the train was blacked out from the station, it was moving. When I got home, it was very late. I remember that my brother was at the bottom of the street waiting for it. And then my husband was told, you know, in such in terms that he wanted to take me again down to Swansea. That's the life we had, you see. We were better off than millions. But I think the time they spent amongst us people, I think Joseph and enjoyed themselves. It became like, you know, anyone else then. At first, of course, they were the talking point. Why have they chosen us to canalise the camp, you know, and things like that. As I say, when they bought the studio, the old pop factory it was, and then it became, after the pop, it became during the war, a food distribution, you know, like a warehouse. I remember them, some local men working there, and then when it was finished, they did. You know, it was all right. And I did go to his studio once, you know, and I thought it was so wonderful, you know, the way they were doing. But I've sat in the garden with them, with her then especially, and she used to open it out and have children there to play, and she used to give them pop and things. And I remember one time she put a magic show on for her children. And, it's the way they lived.
Do you know why they decided to move back to London?
No, I didn't know. No. Can't really say, you know, They were all wondering what would happen, and then of course Peggy and I came to live in the studio, and they were very, very friendly with them. How they became friends I don't know, but they were in London at one time as well, so you know, and they never had any children, so. And it was the first time my mother had ever said how she felt after burying. And I always remember her telling me that when you lose a husband, yes, you lose a partner. But when you lose a child, you lose part of you. And apparently my sister was a very, how can I say, she liked going to church and chapel. And an aunt of mine was an apostolic, and she used to take Glennys with her, and she'd get up and sing at that age, you know. And my mother used to say, oh, she was too good to this for this world, that's why she went, like. But, and I remember my mother saying that they had been talking outside somewhere, and she told that she had buried a little girl, you know, and it's not long ago we put a headstone different to what was there because the churchyard is so old, and you know, I was saying how, but as I say, with Mrs. Herman, I think she knew more about the people in the street than maybe he did. Because she used to, you know, although, as I say, he talked to anybody. Mm. Or wherever you were, you know, and, he'd find something to draw. And I know he used to love going to the public houses and seeing, you know, the men as they were and things. Mm. And there was quite a few characters in the area as well, and, you know. Mm.
Your mum must have felt very comfortable with Katie to tell her about her daughter.
And I think by asking me what he did ask, then, you know, maybe he wanted to know more about me then, you know, and so that, as you say, he could make his own thoughts about how to portray. But I do remember that time in Cardiff, Eisteddfod, and I went in and to the where all the pictures were shown around there, and I remember someone asking, well, who is this one, you know, about Joseph's, and saying, a woman saying, well, Dad, they don't look like miners to me, you know, and I did say, well, I happen to know him, you know, I said, that's how we saw the miners, and it, from a distance, I think I, you know, close up, I used to think, but then seeing them in frames and things like that, you had a different perspective on it. But at first, I never thought much of this, but I've seen books and things since, you know, and it does, they do. You can see how he saw the miners. When I think of him, and I think of him in a, you know, hard hat with the lamp and things and like that on it. But, well, there we are, that's it. Another era gone. I was sorry to see him go, you know, because, as I say, they became part of life and they fitted in then. Maybe it's of some help to you.